You have in the on the slide the scripture reading tonight, and I would invite you to join with me in the scripture reading. But in setting up where Paul is going with this, I just wanted to give a brief overview of the book of Ephesians, and I know that sounds scary, but I mean a really quick thumbnail, because Ephesians, this epistle, goes into great detail of what you and I have as believers. And I'm just going to briefly say in chapter 1, remind us if we've been here before, that here's what he says about you. You have been chosen. You have been adopted. You've been given forgiveness, grace, inheritance. You've been made secure and sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's just in chapter 1. That's what you have in Christ. In chapter 2, Paul says that we were dead in our trespasses, we were dead in sin, but that we were made alive through Christ Jesus. And in verse 10 of chapter 2, he says, you are his workmanship. And maybe that's all you needed to hear tonight, is being reminded that you are God's handiwork. He continues in chapter 2 to remind us that you were brought near to God. Chapter 3, he says you are fellow heirs as a part of the inheritance. And then he offers a prayer that I offered, this prayer to the Ephesians, and says how much God, can you grasp the love of God for you? It's so high, it's so wide, it's so deep. That's God's love for you. Ephesians, the first half of it, is all everything that you have in Christ. Praise God, if you've forgotten, you've been reminded tonight of a few of those things. And then he goes into the end of Ephesians, and I want to invite you to read with me. I think I'm going to carefully look down and not look up. I think I'm reading this. Is there another slide? I'm reading it. Okay, good. Here we go. I want to avoid the embarrassment. So Paul says all this in Ephesians, and then he says this, finally, church, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Friends, this is what Paul is reminding us, what we have in Christ. And you could almost leave after reading through Ephesians and feeling pretty, I don't know, invincible? I mean, look at all that we have in Christ. But what he's reminding us in these words, that we're in a significant battle. Did you catch that? We're not in a battle with flesh and blood. You realize that a lot of the struggles that we have in life, we think it's in this level. We think our problem, our struggles, our challenges are with people at this level, when in reality, we're in a battle that has a spiritual dimension. So our battle is not generally actually with people, but the forces behind their actions. So, but we could be convinced, oh man, I don't know, I feel pretty good, I have all this in Christ. But then Paul says in verse 18, after telling us all that we have as weapons, he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. I'll stop there. I know we've been, or I understand that Pastor Philip has been going with you through the Lord's Prayer. You've been spending time in Matthew. I thought it would be a good time tonight to look at the same subject matter prayer, but through the context of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I titled my sermon, Pray, 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 and I could have called it All. If you just caught what we read in verses 18 and 19, he uses the word prayer and all the time. So I'm going to, as we're looking at prayer, I'm going to just ask you to do something. I want you to be open to the fact that there may be a piece of prayer in your life that is missing. There may be a part in your prayer life that you haven't thought about in years, and you might need to make a change. Would you? You don't need to nod your heads, but would you be willing to submit to the Spirit's leading tonight if you're feeling that? Because prayer is something, well, most all of us do. If you were to look at the statistics of how many Americans pray, it's a pretty high number. So we pray, a lot of us pray, but do we know how to pray? So we're going to be taking a look at Paul's cues here on how to pray. He says in verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. So the first word, all, is the frequency. How often should you pray? Well, Paul is saying on all occasions, but if you look in Scripture, it also says pray always, continually, and diligent in your prayers. Pray at all times. 1 Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. And I just wanted to pause for a second, because if you've been in Matthew, and I'll flip there now. Has Pastor Philip been in Matthew 6? Is that where he's been? Jesus was giving some instructions on prayer, and I just want you to hold on to this pray all the time thing that Paul was just saying, and let's compare that to what Jesus says in verse 5 of chapter 6. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. What's their reward for praying like that? The reward is that people see them and maybe, you know, give them some type of applause or feel good about themselves. That's their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't go on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I am going to assume that Pastor Philip has gone through these verses already before you. They're not unfamiliar. But it would seem that when Jesus was addressing prayer, he says, hey, friends, you want to do something? You want to pray? You want to be deep in your prayer life? You want to connect with God through prayer? Go in your room and shut the door behind you. And I would just wonder, is that the area of prayer that you are missing? Is specific time focused prayer something you're missing? Is it time when you put the phone down? Is it time that you get alone so you're eliminating distractions? Is that a part that you're missing? Jesus says that's where it begins. Now, Paul, I don't think, is in conflict with Jesus. What I would say is that Paul is saying, have what this very thing that I would call God consciousness. That when you are going through life and you see something good, and you say, God, I am so grateful for such and such. When you see something that is evil, that your response would be, I'm sure, God, that breaks your heart. And God, I pray that you would be vindicated in this area of evil. So that God would be the very filter that you and I see life through. I think that's what Paul is saying here. Pray at all times. The frequency. Have this mindset of prayer that, you know, like everything in life should be something that you can talk to God about. Everything in life can be something you can talk to God about. And you can say this, God, more than anything, I want you to be glorified. And somehow, God, in this situation, I pray that you would be glorified. I got a text this morning from a friend, and it was a pretty heavy text, like for us, like a Sunday morning, like just not in a really good place. And I was just getting ready to start the service in Bristol, so I couldn't really reply. Actually, I did reply. I sent the quick text, praying. They needed more than that. They needed a response, maybe a little bit more than that. But I felt it was like one of those situations. Have you ever been in a place where you didn't know how to pray? I don't know how to pray for this. I don't know how to pray for this person. I don't know how to pray in this situation. I think the prayer can be, God, somehow, I hope that you are glorified in this situation. When I don't know how to pray, God, be glorified. Glorify yourself somehow in this situation. So the first all that Paul says and pray, and he says pray and pray, so there's a lot of prayer, but he says, in another way is, he says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. What kinds of prayers? Well, this is like the variety of prayers. This is, it could be planned prayers, written out prayers, impromptu prayers, public prayers, in a restaurant, in church, in a Sunday school class with your family. They can be private prayers. All kinds of prayers would be, how about the emotions that you emote? What if your prayers were a reflection of the emotions that you're feeling? Those kinds of prayers. Prayers of frustration that are between you and God. Prayers of anger, I think, in the context between you and God, prayers of anger are acceptable. The Psalms would play that out. Prayers of joy, prayers of thanksgiving, these are all part of our emotions. Prayers of confession, prayers of petition and supplication. He says, pray all kinds of prayers and make your requests. With this in mind, he says, be alert. So as you are praying, that you would be alert. Another way to say is to persevere or in a kind of intense commitment. And I would just give an example like this. If I were, one of the places I love to sit in Bristol is Snaps Restaurant. I don't know if you like a diner, mine is Snaps. I like it because when I go in, Vicky says, hello, Todd. And I don't even have to tell her what I want. Vicky knows what I want. I just love that. Today, I brought a friend after church, and I got what I always get. And she goes, one second, came back and brought the Tabasco sauce. She goes, I know what you want. And I love Snaps for that reason. That's not even why I came up to tell you this story. I could be in Snaps, and cars could go by, and I could tell you that that is a car that just went by. Or I could tell you that that's a pickup truck that went by. But I could be sitting in Snaps with my son, Ian, who's here with me tonight. And he could say, oh, Dad, that's a Ford. That's a Ford 250. Ian can tell me distinctions between cars. I'm very general. That's a car that went by. I can tell you that. Ian can be very specific. I think in a sense of alertness with our prayers, is we can do, it's okay when you're praying at your dinner table to pray for those people in need generally. God, we're grateful for the food, and we're reminded that there are many who do not have the blessings of food. That's a general prayer, and that's an okay prayer because Paul says all kinds of prayers. But being alert would be a type of prayer where you're at the table and you are aware of a specific family or a specific individual who doesn't have food. And you make a prayer on their behalf. That's a specific prayer. And I think that's what he means by being alert. Are you alert? Are you aware of prayers' needs? Or are your prayers general? Are they just general prayers? Or are they specific prayers? I think Paul is telling us that you and I need to be alert. Do you know when I think we are the sharpest in our prayer life? And I don't mind confessing a little bit here tonight. Are you like me that the most intense time of prayer you've ever had is when you were experiencing tragedy? Times of great, when things were out of your control the most, your prayer life ratcheted up. I'm afraid what that identifies in us is our tendency to be self-centered. That the deepest time of prayer that we've ever had was on our own behalf. So I'm just challenging us, as we are being alert and being committed to praying, that we would not just be alert and committed to praying for ourselves. You want a good example of that? Would you, if you've got your Bibles, would you turn with me to Colossians chapter 4? It's just like a right-hand turn in the Bible, Colossians chapter 4. If you were going to be remembered, your name in the Bible, I think this would be a great way to be memorialized. This is chapter 4, verse 12. The guy's name is Epaphras. Look what Paul says about Epaphras. Verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Do you wrestle in prayer on behalf of other people? I started out tonight asking you, would you be willing to be open to the Spirit's prompting of an area of your prayer life that might be missing? Is that area getting alone, having focused time with the Lord? By the way, isn't it great when Matthew 6, Jesus says, and when you pray, go into your room, close the door behind you, and know that your Father already knows what you need. Does that make you wonder, like, well, wait a second, if he already knows what I need, why am I going in the room, closing the door behind me, and telling him what I need? If you're asking that question, I think you almost are on the verge of something really, really significant in your prayer life. If you're asking, why do I have to go in there if he already knows what I need, you're onto something, and that is, God says, yeah, I already know what you need. I'm your Heavenly Father. I love you. We can focus on what you need for a little bit of the time, but you don't need to repeat all the prayer request needs that you have because I already know them. So we don't need to spend all of our time on what you need. And that, I believe, is Jesus' gift to us, saying you want to be in deep relationship with the Father. Go in the room, close the door, and know that he already knows what you need. And now just talk. Maybe that's the area of life that in your prayer life that you would be challenged. Maybe it is in that area where you don't bring everything before God. You don't see everything as an opportunity to bring it before God. And, you know, it's not when you're driving in your car and you're behind the slow person and in front of you and you want to get around them because you're late, do you see that as an opportunity to pray? I don't generally. I mean, I'm just being honest. That's where I'm most frustrated. Did you see the video recently online of the guy in the plane who the woman in front of him was reclining her seat and he was punching the seat. I don't know if you saw that. It was in the last couple of days. He just kept there punching the seat, punching the seat, wanting her to recline the seat. Like, that was ridiculous. But it's in those like frustrating moments where God says, and I think where Paul is reminding us, that praying in those moments as well, I think it would change our behavior. I think it would change our attitude for the person that's getting in our space. So are you willing to be challenged in your prayer life of just saying, I'm going to bring everything before him? All right, another all that he says here as we're running through Ephesians chapter 6. So pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. God would be the direct object of our prayers, and God being glorified is the direct object of our prayers. The indirect object of our prayers is for each other. And I would say it like this, as we are praying for all the saints, what if we said it this way, as you're considering, oh, don't pick the person next to you, they're too close to you. Pray for, have somebody in the room that's not sitting next to you in mind for this next part. All right, you got them in mind? Okay. God, display your grace in their life. Are you still thinking about that person in the room? God, display your power in their life. Okay, you can think about the person next to you. Pray, God, display your truth and your wisdom and your mercy in their life. You see, God is the one who is on display. That's the direct object of the prayer. The indirect object is the person you're praying for. Praying for one another, all the saints. He then says in verse 19, well, let me back up in verse 18. I skipped over the part where he says pray in the Spirit. And what I believe that means is to it's not necessarily an emotional thing, like we're praying in the Spirit and we're like a little bit more emotional when we're praying in the Spirit. I think what it means is to be praying in harmony with the Spirit, to be praying in harmony. How does the Spirit pray? Romans 8:26 says, hey, remember that moment when you don't know how to pray? Well, the Spirit intercedes when we don't know how to pray. And when in he is in verse 8:27 Romans, with the mind of the Spirit in the mind of God. So we know that the Spirit is always in harmony with the Father. And so when we are praying in Spirit, in the Spirit, we're praying in harmony with God. We pray for things that we know that God agrees with. We pray for things that we know God agrees with. He ends and concludes all with these two verses. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul's prayer isn't for prosperity. Paul's prayer isn't for earthly success. His prayer is that he would be bold in his faith, in his proclamation, the utterance of the word, the pastoral prayer. You can pray for Pastor Philip in that way, that he would be bold, that he would be fearless. That is a prayer for Pastor Philip. In conclusion, I would just again ask you, were you open to the Spirit revealing to you an area of prayer that may need some attention, some, I don't know, exploration in your life, a specific time and place, going alone in your room, spending time, maybe 10 minutes, maybe a little bit longer? Is it being more aware that you can bring all things to God and that there's not really a wrong way, in a sense, to pray when you're bringing it in all kinds of prayers? And have you been praying more for yourself? And you ought to be praying more for the saints. These are all areas, I think, of practical application. How, God, are you looking to change me? I'd like to end by asking God's, I'll do my best to pray in public here, for his help in this. So would you pray with me? God, I pray for our posture before you tonight, that we would not write this off as just another evening service, but it would be a time of a surrender. It would be a time of submission, that you, your Spirit has revealed in us an action to take. And God, with joy, I pray we would take those steps of faith. Help us to exercise our faith. Thank you, God, for revealing through your word ways in which we can know you better and to be in closer harmony with you. I pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.